is Foundations for Spiritual Gifts and Part 3. So if you'll turn to the third page of your study guide, we'll take a look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans 12:5. Paul writes, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Romans 12:5 ties the important Pauline phrase "in Christ" with the body. Now, we looked at the importance of the whole concept of the body of Christ in the previous lesson. And the phrase "in Christ" is a very, very common phrase in the New Testament. We see it all over Paul's letters, referring to the relationship that one has with Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in relation with Christ, is to be in the body, which is the body of Christ, the church, is to be in the sphere of Christ's rule, or which is also to say that one is part of the kingdom of God, the rule of God. So to be in Christ, that is, in a Christian life, a relationship with Jesus, is to be also in the body, for it's the body, the church, which is the context in which we function our whole Christian life. So if I'm in relationship to Christ, I'm also, biblically speaking, going to be in relationship to some body of believers as well. Then what does this verse say about us who are in it? He says in verse 5, the second half there, each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Now, we live in a pretty individualistic society here, and we tend to think of ourselves in terms of simple individuals or independent people. Yet the Bible is saying that your Christian life has a corporate side to it, that we are to be Christians in relationship to others. And throughout the New Testament, we don't find any examples of Lone Ranger Christians. That is, our whole Christian life is designed to be lived in community, that we are to be in relationship to one another. And the whole spiritual gifts are to be exercised in mutual giving and receiving to other members of the body. Now, to ask this question, is this important to you? I don't have an answer for that. You'll have to answer that for yourself. I hope it is. Because if it is important to you, I'm sure you're going to find yourself growing in this area and exercising your gifts, and the Bible promises its reward for that. Then I would ask, how does the first part of verse 6 relate to verse 5? Well, in verse 5 it says, "We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And verse 6 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." Well, now, verse 5 speaks of a body of believers that share their lives together. And verse 6 speaks about each part of the body being given grace in the form of a gift. So here we experience God's grace in the form of spiritual gifts. And those gifts, as you look on in that chapter there, are various functions, various spiritual gifts for particular ministries. So verse 6 relates to that previous verse 5 in that believers live in a community of faith, and that each part of that community of faith, each part of the body, is given the grace of God in the form of a spiritual gift for a particular function. Again, we're back to where we were in the previous chapter, that we're all part of the body of Christ, and it's His intention that every part has its function and would flourish well in that according to the gifts that He's given to us. Then let's ask, what kind of a system did God choose for the internal functioning of the church? You see, the church has been around for centuries. And over the centuries, we can develop all kinds of human ways to organize a church or to think about a church. And I have two knots and a but there. And the lines are a bit long, and if you need to stop the tape and write that down, you can do that. First of all, the church is not a benevolent dictatorship or a one-man show. Same basic idea. The church is not a benevolent dictatorship or a one-man show. That would be where the pastor's pretty much doing everything and everyone else just comes and sits and enjoys the show and then goes home. Secondly, the church is not a democracy. Now, here in America, our ears might perk up at that because we're used to living in a democracy, and that's a great system for a society. But you see, in a church, there is a spiritual headship of Christ, and leaders are given, and our direction, our marching orders, if you will, come from the Scripture and come from the Lord. For in a democracy, everybody rules to some degree or other, whereas in the church, it's a different kind of system. In fact, the church has preceded the whole ideas of modern democracy by quite a long time. So if it's not a dictatorship and it's not a democracy, what is it? Well, here's the butt line. But an organism with Christ as the head and believers as the body. I'll say that once more. An organism with Christ as the head and believers as the body. Now, while a body has leaders, often in the form of pastors, every member of that body functions with spiritual gifts. By organism, we mean the metaphor of the body of Christ. And again, the sense of community, which goes beyond simple organization to meaning people who actually share their lives, and there tends to be a whole spiritual sense of corporateness. Let's look then at the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, and verses 12 through 31. Now, I've divided them into four little sections there with plenty of space for you to write some notes. Let's look first at verses 12 and 13, just those two verses. He says, the body, and that, of course, is the body of Christ. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, what is he saying there? First of all, it's important to note, at the very beginning of verse 12, the body is a unit, not a bunch of folks just here and there and scattered all over and nothing to do with one another, but they're connected. There's a connectedness there to it. And then he speaks in verse 12, and especially in verse 13, of the diversity of Christ. He talks in verse 12 of many different parts. In verse 13, more specifically, that as we were baptized by one Spirit in one body, and then we see the diversity there, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. You see, the church in the early days, the very first days of the church, was a very diverse church that came from all different ethnic backgrounds, different languages, and we saw in the book of Acts, if you look at verse chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was poured out and people were speaking all kinds of languages, slave and free. There were people of every socioeconomic status in the church. So it was a very diverse group of people, much like the church in America is getting more and more all the time right here. So in that sense, we're looking a lot like the New Testament church in that diversity. And he says, in the midst of that diversity, no matter how diverse, we're baptized by one Spirit. And we're all given the one Spirit to drink. That is a spiritual nurturing for our souls. And all of us have that one Spirit, so this body has a unity to it. Let's go on to verses 14 through 20, where we see the foot, the ear, and the eye. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So we have this foot, this ear, and the eye, each of which have a totally different function for the body. I don't think too many of us see with our ears or hear with our eyes, and certainly not with our feet. And yet I think we would all agree that each one of those bodily parts is important and necessary. So I would say there that every part is different and necessary. Every part is different and necessary. That means that you are different from someone else in the body of Christ, and you are also necessary to the normal and healthy functioning of that body of Christ, just as someone else is different from you and necessary in their way. And that's because of what we see in verse 18. In fact, God has arranged, remember that, God has arranged, it's not the pastor, it's not you yourself or anyone else, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You see, so it's God's design, it's God's arrangement, just as he wanted them to be. So you can take comfort in knowing that however you are, whatever you are, it's as God has arranged, and he wants it that way. And that's comforting to know. And he goes on in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And this is very much the same as we see in verse 11. That's not on your notes there, but it's a parallel verse there. And the same chapter 12, verse 11, earlier on, says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. So we see here a repeated emphasis that it's God who arranges and God who determines how it is to be. And if that's God's will and God's leading, then we can be assured that we're walking in his will and that everything's all right. Let's look then at verses 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. You see, here we see that some bodily parts are more public and outwardly visible than others, and we all have bodily parts that are more public and outwardly visible than others. And so it is in the body of Christ. Some people with certain spiritual gifts might be up front and doing things very publicly, and others with other spiritual gifts might be behind the scenes and serving in different ways that not too many people might notice. But it's sure to say that God gives greater honor there in the end of verse 24. God has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So you see that those that may not get the outward honor or recognition as they exercise their gift, the Scripture's saying to us that God recognizes those people and that God honors those who are not otherwise recognized or honored. So even if you have a real low-key type of a spiritual gift or a low-key ministry in a church, be assured that God sees that and that God honors that. And he closes that paragraph with verse 26 saying, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And so there's a unity again in the body that all the parts care for one another. There's not a competition here, who's got the better gift or who's more important or who's this or who is that. You see, all the different parts rejoice or suffer. You see, if your finger is hurting, your foot is not going to rejoice. Your whole body will sense that pain because your physical body is one body, and so it is with the church. As one part of the church is suffering, the whole church, in the biblical sense, is going to feel that pain. And as part of the body is rejoicing, the rest of the believers in the body of Christ are going to rejoice with that person. Let's close in with verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." That pretty much says it all for that part of your notes there. Who's the body of Christ? You are that body. And that "you" in the Greek is a plural form, meaning y'all. And everyone is a part of it. Even whether you feel like it or not, sometimes you might wake up and part of your body might not be feeling too much like it wants to be even alive at all. But no matter how you feel, you're still part of the body. As your physical body, so is your spiritual body. And each one of you is a part. And I would add, as the Bible says, a very important part of it.